Blog Talk Radio.
And good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody had an awesome and blessed Easter. This is Tiffany with Women of Redneck and Eyes. I'm glad you guys are all tuning in tonight with us, whether it be via just listening to us on the link for our radio show, watching and listening to us on Facebook Live. So hi, all Facebook Live people. I'm here tonight to talk to you guys a little bit. I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about, and I've been posting about it because it's kind of something that I was not expecting to actually kind of think about that much. So, but we'll get into that. I just want to see and hear how you guys all did for Easter and how your Easter was. That's going to kill me. My thing keeps telling me on my computer. I know I told you guys this last week, but anyways, I'm going to have to look into this, the frame rate. So you guys might lose me a little bit on your end. I'm not sure, but I'm trying to pull it up on my phone right now, only for the fact so I can see messages. I can't see them on my computer screen for some reason, and I'm not sure why. So, okay. So again, hi, everyone. So tonight on Women of Redneck and Eyes, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about the strikes in the past years. Now, many of you guys know there was one back in the 90s and the 70s, but I never knew until here just recently and doing some research about the one back in 34, and that was in Minnesota. And I could go into the more details and pull it up and start telling you a little bit about it, but, you know, do we really want to? I mean, we all want to listen and know about our past history when it comes to trucking. So it does make it nice to be able to reflect on it and see how what our fathers, brothers, uncles, grandfathers went through back years ago when it come to the trucking strikes. So that was kind of what my whole purpose of tonight's show was going to be kind of focused on, was that, because I wanted to get that out and let everybody know about it and kind of, you know, get your input on it and what you think, what they did back then, if that actually had enough effect on driving now, and what some of our friends are doing with the People's Convoy. They're not considering that a strike. You know, they're out there working, you know, trying to get legislation to change for different areas in the country, you know, because it's all going to affect us one way or the other. So that's what they're out there doing. I mean, I believe they're all out in California, and some of them's back here in the East Coast again. They're kind of dual-purposing things. So I haven't heard a whole lot, and I haven't followed as well as I probably should have. I've been a little bit preoccupied with a few other things that's been going on. So, but with that being said, that's what I wanted to talk about. Do you think the strike of, let me look here, I'm going to tell you the exact dates, because I've done some research and pulled some things up, but the strike of, I got papers all over the place, so just bear with me, because y'all know how I can be when it comes to my papers and stuff like that. So it started actually December 3rd of 1973, okay, when truckers shut down America to protest oil prices and became folk heroes. Do you believe what they did made them all heroes? I want to hear from you. Let me know if you actually think that's what, you know, you would consider them. Me personally, I would have to say, yeah, I consider them that. Yeah, there was a lot of other things that went on there because they got some things established and some things taken care of when they did this. But there was a lot of things that went on with that also. And I'm not going to go into all the details because I have, you know, a lot of paperwork that I could read to you. But that's not the point of it. You can go on, because I pulled these up off of the History Channel, okay, is where I pulled this paperwork up and was looking over it. And the other reason it got me started on it and actually wanting to talk about this tonight is the fact that I have, and I actually have the original copies of the protests in my area, okay, that my dad was involved in back in 73. Okay, my dad is 69, and he was telling us, and I don't even know how we got started on it, to be honest with you. Greg and I were over at his house on Friday, and that's what got us started on it. And I actually, like I said, I have the original copies that he took out of the paper back in 73. And this was actually, December 15th is when he took these paper clippings out of the paper. So I have those, and that's what I, kind of got us talking about back on Friday. But we were talking about it, and one part of the road that we call River Road, which is the name of it, there was a little gas station or fuel stop down there called Midway, and there was also a little restaurant there that I didn't know was there, and I grew up down there, only for the fact my dad had a garage and worked on trucks, and that's where I learned to change brakes on semis. So I have pictures, and I will upload these to our Facebook page so you guys can see these and see these articles that my dad saved all these years. Okay, so over 50 years, my dad's had these papers, and you could tell when you look at the envelope. And I know you guys can't see it, but the glue on the back of the envelope. Okay, so it's all wore out. I know that you guys on Facebook, yeah, you guys can see it. The ones that are listening to us, yeah, you're not going to be able to see it that well, but watch the recap of the video. So the picture that my dad had, and that's what he was talking about Midway, because the fuel stop right there, and he's like, I got a picture of Midway. And I was like, really? I said, I want to see a picture. And he went and got it. And then the caption says, there's trucks parked every which way. Because Midway, being a fuel stop, they had tanks out back that held the fuel. They didn't have them in the ground because being that close to the river, you couldn't. Okay, because they also supplied fuel for all the barges and boats on the river right down there, too. Okay, it says truck stoppage. Parking areas along East Liverpool River Road remain jammed today with tractor trailers and other rigs in the third day of the trucker protest. Many cargoes designed for area stores, businesses, industries, and institutions have been delayed by the stoppage. Okay, so what started this in this area was this guy, his name was J.W. Edwards, also known, his handle was River Rat because he ran this area, was one of the leaders of the protesting truckers set at Washington Friday, the stoppage will continue. So I'm going to read you briefly. I mean, I don't want to hold you guys to this all because there's a lot of stuff we can get over and talk about because there's a couple other things I want to talk about today too. But it says supply problem grows. These are the articles that was actually wrote up about this strike down there. It says a general shutdown of regional trucking operations has been extended through the weekend, adding to continuing supply delivery problems throughout the tri-state area and elsewhere. Truckers protesting increased fuel costs that lowered speed limits Friday night agreed to extend their original two-day stoppage at least until this afternoon. From what my dad said, the fuel prices back in 73 was 15 cents a gallon, and then over a month's time went to 50 cents a gallon. That was in 73. So you guys know what the fuel prices is now and how the jump went from, three something a gallon to almost five something a gallon or, whatever the prices are, wherever you're at. So that's another thing. Let us know what the prices are and how much it cost you last time you fuel to truck up. So he said that was one of the main reasons that they did the strike and started the protesting. Okay, it goes on. Various incidents along the area highways continued, but no serious problems occurred Friday night. City officials late this morning were conferring with trucker leaders in the effort to work out the agreement under which essential food and other supplies could be moved on streets and highways. My dad said they stopped all the fuel trucks down in the area. The only thing they would let through, because River Road back in the day was the main ferryway to get from, because River Road, of course, when it says river, it's right across, it's right on the Ohio River, which right across there is West Virginia. And that was the main way to get from West Virginia and into PA, because the interstate or the highway system was not established then. Because that didn't get established around here until, I believe, the late 70s, early 80s. Okay, so it goes on. City police were summoned to River Road area earlier this morning to force truckers to relinquish control of the Penn Central Railroad crane, which was being moved to the site of a train derailment. My dad said they kept it hostage. So it was kind of nice talking to him and finding some of this stuff out, because he had never spoke about it before. We never talked about it. So it was kind of, you know, strange that he actually, you know, there's some stuff he doesn't want to get into detail about because it brings up a lot of old memories. But he also told Greg and I that there was a tanker at the time down there that tried running him over. You know, thank God that didn't happen, but still. Okay, I look, and it goes on to a locomotive and one car of a freight derailed in the south end of the city about 4:30, and the wrecked crane was dispatched from Pennsylvania. So again, like I said, it had to come down right where they were in order to make it to where the train derailed at. Okay, truckers apparently halted the crane rig on River Road and occupied it with, one witness said, a contingent of the city's officers carrying weapons went to the site and cleared the area, escorting the crane and crew to the derailment site. The locomotive and car were placed back on the tracks about 7:30 a.m. City police escorted the crane to the state line, where Ohioville and Midland police escorted it further north. Meanwhile, the descent truckers on the River Road continued to halt rigs passing through. One driver was stopped at about 9 a.m. and told by protester, "Pull over or we'll do it for you." The driver complied. In the immediate tri-state area, shortages of milk, bread, gasoline, and other staples were reported as the trucker action kept most rigs off the highways. Halting of milk trucks Friday caused shortages to stores and institutions. However, a delivery was made to the city hospital late yesterday, and there will be sufficient milk for patients on a limited basis through Sunday. My dad said that they let the trucks get through to, at least to the hospital. Okay, the shutdown was to have ended on Friday night, but officials of driver labor groups representing operators in western Pennsylvania, in eastern Ohio, and parts of West Virginia voted, instead of maintaining a shutdown, at least voted instead to maintain the shutdown for at least through this afternoon. Reason for the move apparently was uncertainty among organizers over end results of the shutdown so far, as well as the questions of what shape future action should take, said coordinators of the protest. Outcome of the action was that the stoppage would be kept intact pending results of the meeting in Pittsburgh this afternoon involving executives of the Fraternal Association of Steel Haulers, better known as FASH, F-A-S-H, an independent group claiming to represent 25,000 steel carriers in the East and Midwest. FASH has been at the forefront of other trucker protests in the past. "We didn't want to let go too soon," said the organizer of the shutdown at the truck stop near Beaver Falls. "We're going to let FASH make their final decision," he added. "See what they have to say and then call our next move." The coordinator refused to identify himself except to say that he was an independent hauler based in Detroit. I'm losing my place here. FASH President William J. Hill confirmed today's executive meeting, but said he did not know what position the association would take. He added, however, that he believed the shutdown already had been successful. I think it really emphasized the very serious problem that independent truckers have in reference to obtaining fuel, Hill said. In addition, many contacts have been made with government officials that lead us to believe our problems will be resolved. While consumers' effects of the shutdown were hard to determine, at least three major oil companies, Gulf, Sunoco, and Ashland, said they were cut part of the article off. Don't know how I did that, so I kind of need that to finish this. I got to get the right one. Nope. Yeah, it'll be the last one I find. There it is. Okay. Anyways. Okay, Gulf, Sunoco, and Ashland said they were curtailing gasoline and other fuel shipments in western Pennsylvania pending resolution of the protest to avoid violence. The Ohio Highway Patrol said reports of violence in Ohio slowed to a trickle at dark Friday. We have had no complaints of blockades or harassment for a couple of hours, said Captain Fred Paul. The patrol recorded five reports of incidents during the day. The reports included shots, rocks thrown, nails scattered across highways, and bricks suspended from overpasses. Windows were broken and tires were slashed on the Union 76 Plaza near Franklin Highway. Patrolmen and nearly a dozen riot-equipped sheriff's deputies escorted about 15 rigs whose drivers wanted to leave Friday afternoon. The Highway Patrol reported beefed up patrols, including reconnaissance by plane. A driver was arrested near Dayton for assaulting an officer leading a convoy of truckers on Interstate 70. Standard Oil Company of Ohio reported four of its trucks impounded and another shot at. Pennsylvania State Police at Chippewa said a trucker hauling mail to Route 51 in Darlington Township reported being shot at Friday night. William Braw, 60, of New Middletown, said a shotgun blast struck the side of his trailer at Washington, Washington's Secretary of Transportation, Claude Berenger, said he was encouraged after meeting Friday with non-union drivers and truck stop operators. But J.W. River Rat Edwards, a self-proclaimed spokesman for dissident truckers, said after the meeting, there is not a two or day truck stoppage. There is a nationwide truck stoppage indefinitely. So that kind of leads me to what I wanted to talk to you guys about. What do you think? Did you think they accomplished anything in that time frame when they did that? Was it actually something that they got accomplished? Did they get their fuel prices dropped to what they wanted and get their speed limits brought back up? I don't think so. That's my thoughts on that, because I could not find where that made a difference with what they did. But we know by standing together and actually showing that we're united, we'll get things done. That's been proven with many different aspects, not just with the trucking side of it. With anything you get involved with, if you stand together with everybody else that is in there, that kind of helps with it all. It gets everybody involved. So Tracy on Facebook, thank you. 790, was that for full tanks or how many gallons was that for? And was that with a discount? Tracy Dutton on Facebook said yesterday in Adela, Georgia, $790.16 for fuel. So, but thanks for posting that, Tracy. I appreciate that. So how much was it for you guys? Kind of brings us back to that. Back then at 15 cents and it went up to 50 cents in a matter of, I think my dad's 30 days. You know, so 35 cents, that's a lot. I remember when I first started driving, and it doesn't seem like it's that long ago, and it seems kind of crazy. Fuel was only 99 cents then, and I started back in 95. So it's a big change with everything, fuel prices of, you know, parts, and even if you can get parts, what it costs for them. So another thing, you know, kind of talking about that, like I said, there was the strike then in 73, there was one back in the 90s, and it kind of was the same aspect, the same things, protesting fuel prices and, you know, cheap freight and all of that. It's the same things over and over and over again, and we all know this, and it's going to keep happening. It's not going to change unless we all start banding together and making it change. So, okay. Now, I want to talk about, get off the thing of the whole trucker strikes. There was a deadly crash in Monroe, Ohio, just kind of north of Cincinnati on I-75. Now, I'm saying this because the company that was involved, Greg and I both worked for them, and another friend, Donnie, that is part of Redneck and I too, he also worked for MSR Transportation, Mike and Susie Rowley. They lived here in Ohio, actually, you know, right here in our hometown. And unfortunately, their driver lost his life in this crash yesterday. So, you know, it was kind of one of those things when I seen it, I was kind of like, you know, Gunny, if you guys all know Gunny, he posted the video, he shared it of somebody scrolling or driving by that seen the video or was there at the crash and seen it. And what caught my eye was the MSR on the tarp for the Conestoga. But I'm just going to read this to you. I mean, okay, no, this one I am not going to read because it's not the one I wanted to actually tell you guys about. Because this Dayton Daily News talks about just all the crashes that's happened. But the one I wanted to tell you about, let me get to it. So just give me just a minute, guys. I know I thought I had it already ready and I didn't because it wasn't the one I wanted. All right, here we go. This one here. All right. Let's see. It was actually considered in Liberty Township. It says drivers in deadly crash of two semis on I-75 identified. A fatal crash Tuesday morning on I-75 in Butler County slowed traffic on the highway in both directions as state troopers spent hours investigating the crash and tow trucks removed the two semi-tractor trailers involved. The Hamilton Post of the Ohio State Highway Patrol was dispatched just before 9 a.m. to the area about 3 miles north of Ohio or 129 exit near Liberty Way in front of the rest area, says Sergeant Ryan Purpura from OSHAP. The preliminary investigation says that Mahir was operating a 2006 Freightliner hauling an empty trailer and traveling in the left middle lane. Now, he was from Texas, okay? James Barnett III was driving a 2022 Kenworth hauling a flatbed trailer and was loaded with aluminum coils and also in the left middle lane. Mahir slowed in the lane of travel for an unknown reason, according to the State Patrol. Barnett swerved to the right, striking the right rear trailer. Barnett's vehicle overturned, drove off the left side of the roadway and into the concrete median. He was ejected from his vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene by Liberty Township Fire and EMS paramedics, according to the State Patrol. An autopsy is planned for Wednesday, according to the Butler County Coroner's Office. Mahir's condition was not released by State Patrol. Drugs and alcohol do not appear to be factors in the crash. That remains under investigation, according to the State Patrol. It was at least the 287th fatal on Ohio roads this year. There were 333 at this time in 21, the patrol said. It was also the eighth fatality in Butler County roads this year. During the investigation, northbound traffic was routed on 129. That state route and other roads were packed with motorists who worked their way back onto northbound I-75. Troopers were assisted scene by members of the Highway Department of Transportation. So basically, you know, the roads are back open. Hi, John. But with that, you know, started reading a little bit more into it and finding more out about it. And my consensus on this is this: when you look at the pictures and you look at the skid marks and you see everything else that they have posted about it, it kind of hits you as the fact that the driver of the Kenworth, Mr. Burnett, he was probably, again, my opinion, no factual things have been stated, he was probably following too closely. And speed probably had a factor. Yes, the guy slowed down in the middle lane. Okay, we know he did this. But that still does not account for the fact that Mr. Burnett ran into the back of his truck. If he was paying attention and actually had a sure, clear distance and had that comfort zone around him that he should have had, he would have been able to maneuver away from that and not cause that accident and then ultimately losing his life. Now, Mr. Burnett, he did have some young kids, you know, doing some investigating and finding, because that's the type of person I am. Plus, we wanted to find out if we happened to know him, if he worked for Mike when we did. Unfortunately, he did not work for Mike when we did, so we did not know him. You know, so it's still sad that he lost his life. It's sad that any driver loses their life, you know, driving a truck, especially when you know for a fact, if you are paying more attention and actually doing your safety checks around you, you know, the whole check in your mirror, seeing it, looking for your out, always having an out in case of a situation like this. He wasn't doing that, because if he was doing that, there's a good possibility that he probably would still be here today. So our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and go out to Mike and Susie and everybody at MSR and PGT, because they are at least the PGT. So it is a loss to them, and it's a loss to the trucking community also. So with all that, you know, one bad thing after another. But I am going to tell you, I got one more thing to tell you. I just read just before jumping on today, and I was reading into the Greg, and I was like, listen to this. There was a truck, I'm not going to pull the article up, in Joliet, Illinois, that it was a cattle hauler. He hit a four-wheeler and then ended up hitting a truck that was a big truck that was on the side of the road on the shoulder. Ultimately, he crashed his truck. He was drinking, so he was, you know, tested for DUI. He threw cows out of the truck. A few cows and steers got killed in the crash. But then also, they had to wrangle the rest of them that got loose. So that guy was probably going to go to jail. Hopefully, nobody got hurt. He had some non-life-threatening injuries that they took him to the hospital for. So that's just another one of those things, you know, and it comes right back to it. Unfortunately, he was drinking, and they knew right there from the get-go that was the problem there. So kind of brings us to the thing, you know, how much time do you guys spend paying attention around you? Do you actually keep an eye out and look for an out if you need it? So let me hear from you. Do you guys do that? Do you guys know which way to go if you, you know, if all of a sudden you look ahead of you and there's a truck stopped in that middle lane or that right lane, or, you know, if you're on a two-lane road, what are you supposed to do? Okay? You always need to have an out of some sort. So tell me, do you guys have an out when you're out there? Do you always look for that escape route if you need to? Let me hear from you. Okay. So let's see. What else can we talk about? I'm waiting for some of my other people to jump on. I'm kind of missing the rest of my women of redneck and eyes that aren't on here with us tonight. We'll see. Okay. We are going to, let me see, where's this other one at? There was one other thing. Oh, okay. I posted earlier about, and I passed it up. Did I? No. Okay. I need to go into my email. I know I should have had this all ready for you guys, right? About the driver. Oh, wrong email. I know. Okay. And if I go in here, see, I'm too busy paying attention, not doing what I'm supposed to be doing here. All right. I won. See? I love it when things don't want to work for me. Okay. Let me do this. I'm trying to finagle and work everything off of one computer. So it's giving me a little bit of difficulty because it keeps wanting to kick me out of things. So, okay. There we go. Now it wants to work. Okay, where are we at? All right. Ah, I found it. Okay. What I want to talk or ask a question from you guys, what do you think about this bill introduced to remove truckers' overtime exemption? A Michigan congressman thinks truck drivers ought to receive overtime pay. Well, heck yeah. Don't we all want overtime pay? Representative Adam Levin recently introduced a bill called Guaranteeing Overtime for Truckers Act, which would undo truckers' exemption from Fair Labor Standards Act. The exemption dates back to the 1930s and was originally enacted as a safety issue to keep drivers from working too many hours. Well, yeah, I can understand that because you do get out there and you guys all know, you know, sometimes 14 hours doesn't seem like that's enough, or, you know, you need that little extra. Okay. So with that being said, of course, I mean, I'll read it. It's not really that long, so just bear with me. Okay. Levin's bill has several Democrats co-sponsors. Jefferson Van Drew of New Jersey is the only Republican to add his name to the proposed legislation. Removal of the exemption was included as a suggested action for the Department of Transportation and a supply chain assessment of the transportation industry base. It's self-based largely on stakeholder input taken amid disruptions that expose vulnerabilities in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic. Hey, they wanted to give everybody extra money then, so why can't they do it now and every day after, right? Okay, that was my input, not on the article. Specifically, the document noted as an action item, a policy recommendations for the DOT to urge Congress to eliminate the Fair Labor Standards Act motor carry exemption. Under the current exemption, employers are not required to pay overtime to many truck drivers. Crazy, right? Okay. Truck drivers across the country face brutal working conditions marked by inadequate pay and long hours, said a statement from Levin from announcing the bill. Despite their tireless work, truck drivers do not receive overtime pay for overtime hours. We all know you sit in the truck, you're at a shipper or a receiver and sit there for God knows how many hours sometimes. And you're sitting there and you're not getting paid for that. You're just racking it up. It's actually eating your clock away. So what you would get paid for, now you're not going to get paid for because now you're going to have to go to bed because you can't leave. Okay, rant over. As a result, the trucking industry faces extremely high turnover rate as truckers cannot keep up with the thankless demands of their work, right? Drivers do not get enough thanks from the general public, their dispatchers, their companies, you know, the shipper is a receiver. So you don't get that. Very seldom do you get somebody say, thank you for a job well done. Okay. We all stand to benefit when truckers get paid what they're owed. Because then, think about it, the drivers are going to be happier, you're going to get your stuff quicker, and people are going to love you for it. For Ligon's bill to become law, it will have to be approved by the House and a similar bill be approved by the Senate. It would go to the president for his signature. Well, we all know where that will end up, right? Okay. I don't want to talk about it no more. This is the question at the end of this article. So go on our Facebook page, find it on there, and it's very simple. It's bill introduced to remove truckers' overtime exemption. And read the article again for yourself. There is, like I said, it's a voting thing. They're trying to get this voted on. You know, basically just from all the truckers out there. And this is actually on truckersnews.com. So if you go on there, it says at the bottom, it says, should Congress end the overtime exemption for truckers? For me, I'm going to vote yes, wholeheartedly, not even think twice about it. I think you all should do it too. It's kind of a polling thing to see what everybody thinks. Don't think that it'll ever make it to the congressman that is putting this in there or the Senate or any of them to actually see it. But it's something for everybody else out there to say, wait a minute. Yeah, everybody's into this too. So let's try doing this and getting this passed. Again, not saying it will ever get passed, but we can all hope for it to get passed. Okay. All right. Got to take a drink for a minute. And let's see what else we can go into. Okay. Now, what do you guys think of the bill? Let me know what you think. I really do believe, you know, it's a good thing. I think everybody's going to like it too if everybody starts pushing it and getting some other ones. So contact your senators in your home state and say, hey, check this bill out. We think it would be, you know, a good thing for all of us. I mean, granted, they will have to put some sort of limitation on it and maybe, you know, get the FMCSA to change the driving a little bit and change the rules just some to benefit, but they're going to have a fight about it. And you know, if it goes to the president's desk at this point in time right now, he's going to reject it, unfortunately, because he's not going to want to see people do that, even though he says he was a truck driver. So let's not get into that topic because I'm not going to talk politics. Mm-mm. Ain't doing it. Okay. let's see. All right. I'm trying to find some stuff to talk about. I mean, I've been doing a little bit of everything today, working on our truck show that we want to put together. So I know some of you guys already know about it. We've talked about it, and we've told a lot of you guys about it. But I've actually been getting a couple things kind of set in motion. Hopefully, I'm working at it. But I did get a lot of things accomplished today. We're still, you know, in a very long stretch before we get it accomplished and done. So that's going to be one of those things that's going to be a year in the making. Because like I said, we are planning this for July of 2023. So there's a lot of things we want to do. We want to be able to have truck and tractor pulls and a kids night and a truck show, you know, show and shine type thing. So, but just keep an eye out on our Facebook page and everything. I'll keep posting stuff and letting you guys know. Okay. Holy moly. Okay. I'm looking at another thing here, trying to find stuff and new stuff. And this is also on the truckersnews.com. Coca-Cola gives $1 million to college driver training programs. Yeah. Coca-Cola company Tuesday announced it was donating $1 million to the truck driver training program of the state's college system. So now they want to give money to the colleges to get drivers from college. to raise awareness for the technical and innovation officers for the Coca-Cola company, supporting the TCSG, which is the, I guess I should have read the whole article instead of picking and choosing, the commercial driving program. I should have read the whole article here, guys. Sorry. But they want to give money to this company, this school, in order to get drivers, enroll commercial drivers across Georgia from 1,700 to at least 3,400 by 2023. Yeah, they're giving the Governor Emergency Education Relief Fund. Okay, why not put it back into the infrastructure since their trucks are also the ones that's going up and down the roads? You know, granted, yeah, they may need more drivers, but, you know, raise your driver's wages and salaries of the drivers you have. They'll stay with you longer. Okay. Wow, I'm not going to get into all that. That's just, wow, crazy. Okay. So, what do you guys want to talk about tonight? Anything? Nobody? Nobody has nothing to talk about? Okay. All right, this is the first. This happened on April 14th. Okay, tractor trailer struck by car falls off I-95 overpass in Connecticut. That car must have hit that truck pretty darn hard. Okay, tractor trailer was knocked off Interstate 95 and fell onto Route 1 in Milford, Connecticut, Wednesday afternoon, April 13th. Firefighters responded to the crash that occurred near Boston Post Road, also known as Route 1, near Exit 39 on southbound Interstate 95. Connecticut State Police said the truck was hit from behind by a car that tried to pass another vehicle in the breakdown lane on I-95. The impact caused the driver of the tractor trailer to lose control and go over the guardrail. The truck driver, who authorities did not identify, was able to free himself from the wrecked cab. He was taken to Bridgeport Hospital for treatment of unspecified injuries. The accident remains under investigation. How fast was that car going to hit him that hard and knock him over the overpass? And it's not a little straight truck. It was, you know, I can't even say what the truck was because looking at the picture, I'm going to say maybe a Volvo. But that's just wow. Hi, Jen. How are you? Thanks for jumping on and listening and watching tonight. Okay. Let's see. Michigan continues rolling back spring weight restrictions. We know all states do this in the spring. Okay, the Michigan Department of Transportation and local agencies continue to adjust annual spring weight restriction areas to protect roads. Okay. So, and if you have any questions, they ask you to call 800-787-8960. Okay. So, talking about calling, our phone number here is 515-602-9731. If you want to be part of the conversation, just hit option one, and you can chit-chat with me. Now, we also want to thank a couple of our sponsors. We have DPF Regeneration. They take care of all your particular filters. Look them up at webakem.com. And we have LTR Trucking out of Denver, Colorado. They have many different lines that they are running now. They are doing dry van, drop and hook, and a couple other ones, if I remember correctly. That's when my LTR girl comes in handy, but she is not on yet tonight. So, and we don't ever want to forget about Trucker Tools, because Trucker Tools has been a pretty good group to us here at Redneck and I's, and they have a nice app. And if you have any questions about that app or concerns, you just email them and they will look into them and help you navigate their website or their app. Okay. Wow. Okay. I was just kind of looking through and scrolling through some different news feeds. And I actually found this Truckered News. It's actually a pretty nice website to look through, and it gives you all kinds of different things to talk about and read about. So it's kind of nice to see some things that you don't see, because it's not always, I don't see these things on Facebook that much or on the other stuff. Okay. So since we are talking, you know, this is the women of Redneck and I's, and I'm going to talk about some things that are, you know, gender specific. There is a deadline to apply to serve on FMCSA's new Women Advisory Board. It's Friday. Now, this is already passed because this is an old article. This was done on April 5th. But the advisory board, let's see what it says. Okay. A deadline is at hand to nominate someone or yourself to serve on a new advisory board of women in the trucking industry. Friday, April 8th is the deadline, so it's already passed, to submit nominations of people to serve on the Women of Trucking Advisory Board within the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. The purpose of the board is to help the FMCSA recruit, support, and ensure the safety of women commercial motor vehicle drivers and the trucking industry at large. The FMCSA said the advisory board will coordinate with trucking companies, nonprofit organizations, and trucking associations to support women in trucking. The board will provide recommendations to the administrator of FMCSA in the security of transportation, as well as tackle many areas, including elevating barriers and trends that impact women in trucking across the country, and ways to support women pursuing careers in trucking, identifying opportunities to expand roles for women and increase the number of women in the trucking industry, advising on policies that provide education, training, mentorship, or outreach to women in the trucking industry, and reviewing opportunities to enhance safety training mentorship and education for women in the trucking industry. Say what? With some of those, okay. Identifying opportunities and expanding roles for women and increase the number of women in the trucking industry. There is a lot of women in the trucking industry. It's hard for me to, because I didn't have a mentorship and different education from a woman, being a woman and a man. And what's different? There's nothing different. You still have to learn the same stuff. You're still the same people doing the same job. Somebody's just, you know, built just a little different than the other. You still have to do the same things. A man's job is not going to be any easier than a woman's, and a woman's is not going to be any easier than a man's. You still have to drive the truck the same way. You may have to adjust some things a little bit differently in the truck to accommodate yourself being a woman compared to being a man. But special training, no. Safety, the only safety thing I'm going to have to say is you're still going to have to secure your loads properly and safely. But inside your truck, for you as a woman driving, yeah, you have to be a little bit more safer and be more aware of your surroundings, because just for one, you never know who's out there. I have talked to some people that, or some women that said, well, when I go to a truck stop, I'll go in and get fuel. And I always allow myself enough time to go from point A to point B you know, I fuel up here. I go 30 miles down the road or a little bit further and find a place to sleep because I don't want somebody that's sitting at the truck stop that watches me fuel, see me go park, and then come back to my truck. If that's what makes you feel safe, that's fine. Do that. But to go and say that you have to have special training, no. There's no different training between one, you know, male and female. I'm sorry. No, that just gets me every time I listen to it. Okay. Going on. Okay. The board will include a minimum of 8 members with diverse backgrounds, experience, and certifications to provide balanced points of view. The group will include women representing small, mid-size, and large trucking companies, nonprofit organizations in the truck and nonprofit organizations in the trucking industry, trucking business associations, independent owner-operators and professional truck drivers, and an institution of higher education or trucking trade school. Okay. Members serve without pay and are chosen from a field of qualified candidates for two-year terms. Okay, should you wish to apply for a nominate someone from the membership, please email the following. Okay. A letter of expression for interest, qualification to serve on the committee, specifying one of the following membership categories: a large trucking company, more than 100 power units, a mid-sized trucking company, 11 to 100 power units, a small trucking company, 1 to 10 units, a nonprofit organization in the trucking industry, a trucking business association, an independent owner-operator, a female professional truck driver, an institution of higher education, or trucking trade school. Other related role within the trucking industry, please specify. Okay. A resume of relevant work experience, one letter of recommendation from someone who knows you and your professional accomplishments firsthand. This can be a supervisor or a colleague. So, yeah, I don't know, guys. I just don't see that being what, you know, I feel is right. Because, I mean, what they're talking about, I just don't know. I'm kind of, you know, up in the air on it. So what do you guys think about that? Should women get special training and special, you know, exemptions of being a driver? And I know what all the men are going to say. Well, no, if they're going to be out here, then they need to be just, you're right. I'm here to say you're right. So that is my thought on it. You're right, Jen. Driving is the same no matter what gender. And I don't know why either. They have to put everybody in a category because there's always those few people or few women that actually have to have it done exactly their way and it's the way they want it. And they start pushing the issue and they get everybody, and I don't want to say it's everybody, you know, I don't want to say that, but yeah, that's how it is. So, it's crazy. It's crazy how they do this. It's just, you know, it's just, I just don't know. I just don't know where to go with that. But yeah, when I went to driving school, and I think I said this last week, but when I went to driving school, I was the only female in my class. And this was back in 1995. I was the only one and only female. I was pregnant at the time, but I was still determined. I was going, and I had a doctor's thing. My doctor said, up until I feel like I can't do it no more. It kind of was one of those things where I have to say, I was doing just fine, just doing what I was doing, because I knew a lot of the stuff when it comes to driving, because my dad had been a driver, and I've been around it all my life. So I knew a lot of, you know, the common knowledge stuff. I did have to learn how to do a lot of the backing and the maneuverability, because my dad didn't teach me that. I mean, if I could back across out of our driveway and then cross onto the road and, you know, and turn the truck around right there, I was good. But I didn't have to navigate around things. So that was a good thing for me. I like the fact that I went to school and I learned a lot of things. Hey, it's enough. Sorry, cat carrying on. Anyways, I had to learn a lot of different things. So it was good. But again, I was the only woman. I was fine with that. The guys didn't treat me any different. When it was my time to take my CDL, my driving test to get my CDL, it was a miserable day. And I went to school in Lake Milton, Ohio, which is about an hour and a half from here, north of us. And it's up there in the snow belt. So when I went, it was December 21st of 95. So I went up there to take my test, and there was probably about 3 feet of snow. And when I pulled in there to take the test and go and do everything, I thought for sure they were going to cancel it. But they asked me, said, do you feel safe enough to do it? We feel safe enough that you can do it. Yeah, I could do this. Because I'm one of those people, I'm never going to say I can't do something, ever. I don't care. If I knew in my head, I seriously can't do that, and somebody tells me, well, we know you can't do that, and I already have it stuck in my head, yeah, I really can't do that, but I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to try to do it. And I know a lot of women like that. Jen, she's one, right, Jen? You're going to do it. Even if somebody tells you you can't, you're going to prove them wrong that you can do it. Cheryl, you're the same way. I know. It's embedded into us that we're not going to have somebody, whether it be male or female or whatever, tell us that we can't do something. Okay. So... But anyways, when I showed up to take my test that day, there was 5 of my classmates that had already taken their test. They were waiting for me to get there. They says, we're here for your support, because when you get done and you ace this bad boy, we're taking you to breakfast. Well, heck yeah. I'm going to ace it so I can go to breakfast. See, Cheryl, I know. I knew you were definitely that way. So that was a good day, even though it was, you know, a little bit nasty out, I survived, and it was good. So, my eyes itching. All right, but anyways, so let's see. Now, another thing I want to ask you guys about, because it's just... On the She Drives, another thing on here that they are talking about, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing, the article, but it's just something I want to put out there. When you're training, if you're a female, I feel it's best that a female be with a female, okay, in a training situation, because you're going to feel safer. You're not going to want to be in the truck with a guy that you don't know, because already you're new with a company, you're going to start with it, and it's going to be hard for you to be there. Sorry, guys, Jen just posted, I mean, some of you guys might be able to see this. She posted, now she does have a CDL, and I believe you have a class B, if I am correct, Jen. I had to get all of it there. She says, I took my CDL during black ice all over the road. If you're a good driver, you're a good driver no matter what. In this world, women have to watch for themselves no matter where you live or what you do. If you want to do it, then there's no stopping. Amen, Jen. Awesome. Loved it. Perfect statement. Because, yeah, there's no stopping any of us for something that we want to do. So... don't give up on your dreams. I mean, I can't say that I ever wanted to, I don't want to say I'd never wanted to be a driver, because that's something I always wanted to do. And granted, I can't say that was my major dream that I wanted was to be a truck driver. I wanted to be, what I always said I wanted to do was be a nurse that was a truck driver. So if I was out on the road, I could always help somebody that needed it. So, but trucking was in my blood. I used to go with my dad all the time when I was a kid to help work on the trucks. And I had my own little, you know, thing that I did. And so it was good. It was a lot of good memories of helping him back in the day. And I don't help him near as much as I should anymore. You know, I guess when you grow up, it's kind of hard to stay doing the same things over and over again. Okay, here's something. This happened, these are some older ones, and you may have already heard it or seen it. A woman trucker honored for her actions on I-280 accident scene. She's considered a highway angel. The New Jersey truck has been honored for her role in assisting at the scene of a three-vehicle collision in September. The Truckload Carrier Association named Melissa Benzavenjo, sorry, I just mutilated that name, a driver for Carbon Express from Lake Hopicon, New Jersey, a highway angel, for stopping at the scene of an accident after witnessing a driver lose control. Okay, it was rush hour September 7 as Melissa drove along Interstate 280 near Newark, New Jersey. She had just dropped off a trailer, and although traffic was heavy, Melissa watched as a car in front of her sped up and began moving sporadically. It looked like she was trying to weave in and out of traffic ahead of her, recalled Melissa. She cut to the right and rear-ended a Jeep, which spun her into the left lane. Then she bounced off another car, hit the Jeep again, careened out of control, crashed into a concrete barrier on the right side, did a 180, and ended up blocking both lanes. Melissa carefully positioned her cab at a 45-degree angle to block both lanes of traffic behind her. She put on her four-ways, grabbed her emergency kit, and ran to assist the driver of the first vehicle. The airbags had deployed, and the car was filled with smoke and dust. Melissa said, "There are two other bystanders who helped me get her out of the car." She said that she had just come from the doctor's office and her blood pressure was high. She didn't know what happened. Melissa quickly assessed her condition. The woman was able to stand and walk. Another motorist stayed with her while Melissa checked on the other drivers. The driver of the Jeep and his son had minor injuries. The driver of the third vehicle wasn't hurt. By now, traffic was backing up for miles. The road had concrete barriers on each side, and there was no way for emergency vehicles to get to the scene. "We had to open up the lane," said Melissa. "The car was inoperable, and unfortunately, her toe strap was broken. Someone suggested bouncing the car to move it," she said. Melissa recruited three other truck drivers and three bystanders to assist in bouncing the vehicle on its own suspension, and eventually they were able to move it out of the way. Melissa then positioned her truck, leaving enough room in front of her for emergency vehicles and tow trucks to pull in. Then she began directing traffic until police officers arrived. She nearly avoided being struck by one vehicle. The tow truck driver and EMTs who arrived on the scene thanked Melissa for making the scene safe for them to get in to do their jobs. Melissa trained to be a junior firefighter when she was just 15 years old and learned how to secure a scene and assist it. She is also a certified nurse's aide, which helped her in assessing the condition of those involved in the accident. "Bystanders and truck drivers are the true first responders," she said. "3/4 of a mile is a truck that will stop. My company has always said, you will be a first responder. There will always be things that happen out on the road, and we expect you to stop and make sure everyone is okay. Our company's motto is, survive the drive and get home alive. What a great motto. And it's not for just us. It's for everyone on the road. We all have families we want to get home to. There are angels there that help things end in a positive way that day, said Melissa. It was a blessing. You're right. It definitely was. Okay, for her willingness to assist, TCA has presented her with her certificate, patch, label, lapel pin, and truck decals. Her employers received a letter of acknowledgement, their driver as a highway angel. Since the program's inception in August of 97, nearly 1,300 professional truck drivers have been recognized as highway angels for exemplary kindness, courtesy, and courage they have displayed while on the job. So, I hope you guys can't hear Greg up there because he's upstairs and he's on the phone. And when he's on the phone, he's usually on speaker and it usually gets a little loud sometimes. So if you can hear him, let me know. Okay. So let's see. We have less than an hour to go. What else can we find? Okay. Well, I'm not going to read any more news articles, but I do. Hi, Kaylee. How's little Rowan doing? Okay. I talked right at the beginning of the episode about the trucker strike. Now, the only thing I'm not getting into it, but I wanted to bring up the one from 34. Let's see. I'm glad he's doing good. I hear your dad's supposed to be home this weekend. That means I get to see him, right? Okay. All right. Like I told you, the strike that happened back in 34 was in Minnesota, actually in Minneapolis. Okay. It was the Teamsters. It was a general strike in 34, grew out of a strike by the Teamsters against most of the trucking companies operating in Minneapolis, the major distribution center of the upper Midwest. The strike began on May 6th of 34 in the Market District. Okay, you do that, Kaylee, and I will too. Okay, the worst single day, upper Midwest, the strike began on May 16th of 34 in the Market District, the modern-day warehouse district. The worst single day was Friday, July 20th, called Bloody Friday, when police shot at strikers in the downtown truck battle, killing two and injuring 67. Ensuing violence lasted periodically throughout the summer. The strike was formally ended on August the 22nd. Hold on a minute.
Hey, how do the kitchens are echoing downstairs?
Okay, I'm back. Sorry. Had to go tell Greg he was echoing down here so I could hear him too good. So sorry about that. Okay. All right. With a condition coalition informed by local leaders associated with, I did. Okay. Leaders associated with the Communist League of America, a group of later founded in the Soviet Socialist Workers Party. The strike paved the way for the organization of over-the-road drivers and the growth of the Teamsters Labor Union. The strike alone, along with the 1934 West Coast Longshore Strike and the 1934 Toledo Auto Elite Strike led by the American Workers Party, were also important catalysts for the rise of industrial unionism in the 1930s. much of which was organized through the Congress of Industrial Organizations. So this was mostly by just because of the Teamsters and all that. And again, it's a long thing, but I will also post it. It was just kind of one of those things. I never really thought too much about it back in the 30s. That kind of threw me for a loop when I seen that. I was like, really? They were even striking then? But the only place I seen that at was just in Minneapolis. So it was kind of one of those things that was like, wow. I guess, you know, they go back further than any of us really want to consider and think. And it's like, wow, I never really would have thought the strikes would have been that prominent then. I mean, I remember the one back in the 90s because was before I actually had my CDL. Okay, so it was mid-90s, and I don't know if I can find anything about it right now, so let me just kind of look and see. So if I try talking when I'm typing, I kind of hit other things and not supposed to be hitting what I'm supposed to. So let me see here. Okay. Let me see. Okay. Okay. Really? I got things all popping up all over the place on my computer here. Okay. See, Cheryl, that's something I didn't know. I mean, I knew about the one in the 30s when I found that, but I didn't know about the rest of them. I mean, in the 40s and 50s, I didn't know that. Okay, Teamster Strike shuts down 22 trucking firms. This was posted back in April of 94. That's about right. In the first nationwide trucking strike in 15 years, the Teamster shut down 22 large trucking companies Wednesday, forcing customers to scramble for available carriers and raising fears of serious disruptions of commerce in the walkout county. Continues. With no new labor negotiation scheduled for about 75,000 Teamsters across the country walked picket lines outside truck terminals in one of the largest strikes since the mid-80s. There were only a few reports of scattered minor violence. You know, so I don't really remember what the one was about in the 90s. Like I said, that was right about when I graduated. So, yeah, it was that long ago. So, but we know there's strikes, and we know there will be strikes. Or as they call them now, not really strikes. They're not stating it as strikes, more as, you know, not even, I can't even say, maybe a little bit of a protest type situation, but it's a lot of different. Yeah, Cheryl, it was, in the long run, it was over fuel prices. And, it was also with the brokers, the transparency of brokers. So there was a lot of things that kind of led to that one. Let's see, I'm trying to scan over to see exactly what it was, they're saying about. But most all of the strikes have had a lot to do with fuel prices. You know, fuel prices go up, wages stay the same. You don't get that fuel surcharge, you know, given to the driver. The companies keep it. Yeah, you're right, Cheryl. It's the same now as it was then. Nothing has really changed. It may actually take a little... At the time when the strike goes on, things may look like it's changing for right now. They're going to show that they're actually getting something done and something accomplished, and it looks good on paper. And they get everybody saying, yes, we're going to do exactly that. We're going to follow this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to give you all the transparency that you want. We're going to give you the fuel charge. We're going to do everything we can to bring the price of a barrel of oil down in order to cost you guys less for that. We're going to get the freight bills up and the wages up. And it goes for about a month, 2 months. Everybody's happy. Then they just start 5 cents here, 2 cents there, whether it goes up for fuel or down for your price. So it's kind of one of those things. It's never going to end. It's going to be this, you know, seesaw effect, you know, for a very long time, because there is not. Then when I look at these and look at the strikes from the 30s, the 70s, the 90s, even, you know, the protest more in the 80s, it's all the same. Everybody then, back then, they banded together. Oh, yeah, they're going to hold the line. Totally. You've seen it with the automakers when they struck. They held the line at their places. Yeah, people came in and worked, you know, but they didn't give in until they got exactly what they wanted. But the drivers won't do that, because most of them now, you have a company that tells you, well, you can't do that. If you do that, we're going to fire you. Well, what do you mean you're going to fire me? Just because I'm not going to do exactly what you're saying, and I don't feel it's right that I have to pay this, and, you know, my other, you know, drivers out here, friends out here for this company, they're doing it. They're not getting fired. But you're going to fire me because I'm going to stand up with the rest of my brotherhood. That is totally freaking crazy. Okay. So, if you guys want to be part of the conversation, dial 515-602-9731. Hit option one and talk to me. So, I'm not still here talking to myself. And I want to take the time right now to thank our sponsors. DPF Regeneration at WeBakeEm.com, LTR out of Denver, Colorado, awesome company to work for, and once again, Trucker Tools with the Trucker Tools app that helps you find parking spots, book loads, fuel prices, I believe, are some of the things that they do. Okay, so now I want to see, what do you guys think of for next week's topic? I need to come up with some ideas, and I don't want to always read articles. That's not what I want. Or, yes, Cheryl, I will. I don't want our Wednesday night talks to be all about articles that I read. That's not what I want our show to be about. I want to hear from you, whether you're male or female, mind you, because it does not matter, because again, we're all the same. We all do the same job. So that's what we want to talk about. Okay, Cheryl, I posted it for you. And again, if you want to be part of the conversation, just hit option one. So, I want to hear from you guys what you guys think next week's chat should be about. I mean, it's up to you, whatever you guys want. Tell me, email me, text me, call me, you know, leave a message on our Facebook page, leave a message on my private, you know, Facebook if you got that. Oh, heck, I almost hit a button to end chat on us. We don't want that. Yeah, you send me some articles about that, Cheryl, because Cheryl says, let's talk about the new problem. Pay us for all the hours worked. I did have a little thing earlier about that, Cheryl. I did talk you might not have been on then. Let me see if I can find it real quick again. It's about the overtime hours. It might not be in this one. But look on our Facebook page, and I'll share it to my Facebook, about a bill that is being – they're trying to get passed in order to – drivers to get all of – get paid for everything, all their overtime hours. I'm trying to see if I can find it again. I don't even know where I lost it at. But anyways, it's on our Redneck and I's Facebook page. So it's all right, Cheryl, if you keep losing signal. I understand. If you can watch us via Facebook, that's good. Keep your comments coming. You know, you have my number, so you can call me even after the show when you get service, or call me tomorrow. I'll be around all day. Okay. Uh-oh. Don't want that. My computer froze for a minute. Yeah, Cheryl, you're right. I don't think any of us will ever see it happen. You know, with things like that, it's just because I don't think it will go any further than Congress, because I don't see it ever making it to the president's desk in order for him to sign it and put it in a law, because then the FMCSA is going to have something to say about it too. So it's just one of those. Oh, there it is. See, I knew I'd find it. Yeah, bill introduced to remove truckers' overtime exemption. So, hey, here's one. See, if I keep looking, I find it. I find other things under the job section on Truckers News. Now, because I know when Ed does his Sunday night chats, he always, yeah, you're right. Companies won't allow it. That you're right, Cheryl. But Ed always looks CDL life. Now, Jessica put me into this Truckers News website and that, and they actually email me these articles every week. So it's kind of nice because I get it every, you know, couple days. But this is Roll, whatever you want to call it, out of Marshall Field, Wisconsin. Rail Transportation's new pay plan increases drivers' compensation. See, Cheryl, we were just talking about that. Wisconsin-based carrier recently announced a significant pay increase for its drivers. Rail Transportation, which is based out of Marshall Field, Wisconsin, April 6th, changed its compensation program, giving drivers the opportunity to earn from 12% and 14% more. Has made a change to its drivers' pay plans, which will allow allow driving teammates to make 12% to 14% more. The company announced it on April 6th. The pay increase applies to its national, regional, and home daily drivers. The company says it has moved from a statistic cents per mile, a static cents per mile on all miles, to a sliding mileage scale based on length of haul, taking into account the value of a driver's time and realizing that drivers need to be compensated at a much higher rate per mile on shorter lengths of haul. It also takes geographic location and freight type into consideration. Some rail drivers will now earn $1.64 per mile on a 50-mile load as a result. That's still not, let me see, 50 miles, and you times that by $1.64. That's $82 for 50 miles. You know, I guess that's better than 14 cents a mile, right? Okay. Once again, Rail is innovating and evolving, and these pay plan changes reinforce our commitment to providing the best driving jobs to the best drivers in the industry, said Tim Norland, Rail's Vice President of Driver Employment. These pay plans are fundamental change to how we compensate our driving teammates. The mileage band pay plans featured rates per mile based on the length of a haul, with activity pay added in. These enhanced pay plans, when combined with our addresses, to address mileage calculations, 3 cents, accident-free pay, and performance bonuses, ensure that rail drivers receive some of the highest compensation in the industry. This comes after the company's recently made its largest profit-sharing contribution of 7% to eligible company or eligible employees' wages. That is actually, you know, it's nice to see that a company is actually starting to pay for their drivers, what the drivers are actually worth. So, you know, I'm glad to see it. I wish more companies would. You know, Cheryl, you're right. It's always been, short hauls have always been better paying. Long hauls never are. They sound like it when they tell you you're going, you know, okay, 1,000 miles for $4,000. Okay, that's $4 a mile. Okay, but you can go 4,000 or let's go 500 miles for $4,000, and that makes it out to $8 a mile. So, yeah, it's always short hauls are always better. They always have been, whether it's been steel or, you know, dry van. It's always been better. Okay. All right, sorry.
Needed to take a drink.
Okay. We are down to the last half hour of the show. So I want to hear from you guys. Anything? I'm trying to see what else we can look. Yeah, Cheryl, that is pretty good. Let's see. She says $1,800 for 400 miles. $450 a mile. Yeah, that is pretty good. You know, and that's what you want to see. You want to see the shorter miles and higher numbers. You know, when Greg, some of the loads he gets sometimes, you know, it's crazy stupid prices. And that has a lot to do with because he does do expediting. You know, he hasn't worked in a month now, a month and a half, almost 2 months. So, he's back on the board. He told him he was ready to go. So I guess they said they were a little bit slow because after Easter. So we'll see. Now we talked a little bit about this last week too, about Walmart drivers making up to $110,000 in their first year. Great for them. So I'm glad that Walmart's actually going to start paying their drivers a little more. Good question, Cheryl. Right now with us at Rednecks, because she asked, I mean, you guys on the radio, you don't hear this or see it, I should say. She asked, what is next for Redneckinized? Hey, you put an S instead of an A. You're good. You're good. So, anyways, Jeff, what's next? Right now for us, we are going to be going to Truckers for Hope out in PA. Don't ask me, I cannot remember. That is what, you know, our next thing. And it's, I know you guys can hear me typing. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right, Jen. Life out on the road compared to local hauling for drivers and family. Yeah, when it's, you know, when you're an over-the-road driver, you don't get home as much for your family. You're gone a lot more. Greg's usually gone about a week to 10 days. And Cheryl, I know you're gone a couple weeks at a time, if not longer. And Jen, your brother, he drives, you know, I'm assuming still for DMV and being home every day or every couple of days. So it is a big thing that's different between companies. You are an over-the-road driver because you do miss out on a lot of things. And I'm lucky that I actually can stay home and I don't have to drive anymore, which sometimes I'm thinking, I would like to go back to driving. Then it's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that again because there's a lot of things. Oh, sorry. Being up since 5. Anyways, so there's a lot of things that I have to do around here that I need to do and I want to do. So, okay. So what's next with Redneck and Eyes? Right now, doing a lot of getting stuff organized for the truck show that we want to do in July of 23. It is a far time off, and I know this. But like I've said, and I tell everybody I talk to about it, even the ones I've talked to you about coming and doing stuff at the show for us, I don't want to be one of those ones that wait to the last minute trying to put it together. I want to be able to have everything down and have my book filled and everything to a point where all I could do is open up and say, I got this done, check, done. I know these people are coming this day, and I know this is going to happen this day, and this is going this. I want everything to be easy and flow and good and just a great time for everybody. Because like I said at the top of the show, with our truck show that we want to do, we want to be able to have a kids' night. We're going to have any type of vendor that wants to be there. I did the vendor sign-up sheet today, our Google form actually, that will be posted to our website when I get it up and running. And I'm not worrying about doing, the website's not going to start actually up and running until probably after the first of the year, because I don't want to be running already because I have nothing accomplished. I don't want to say nothing accomplished. I don't have anything set in stone. I know when, where we're having it at, but I have to get all of the other stuff done too. So I want to be able to get, I don't want to be like some of the ones that want to put on truck shows and don't have everything put together. So that's what I have been working on pretty steady right now, is trying to get our truck show stuff organized and done. It's just a little bit at a time. It's hard for me to tell somebody, hey, can you guys do this for me, because I can't do this, but I will be doing that. I will be reaching out to some people and say, hey, can you contact these ones and see if they can come and do this for us? So, you know, you're right, Cheryl. It does take a year longer to get together. So, yeah, I know it's going to be taking forever, so that's what I want to do. I want to take time and get it put together the way I feel that it should be, the way I, as a driver, want it to be. So, sorry. We had to have a cat come visit us because Ghost always has to be here to help us. So that's what I want. I want everything to be perfect. I know it's not going to be perfect because we're drivers, for heaven's sake. Nothing, anything that we plan out to be exactly the way we want it ever is exactly perfect. And Jen, I will be reaching out to you and Dave, only for the fact that it will be at Canfield Fairgrounds in July of 2023, and I will be getting with you guys and your tractor pulling people and friends to possibly see if you guys are willing to come and put on a show. So we'll talk about that later. Yes, Cheryl, it will be in Ohio in July. I will send you all the particulars because I will definitely be getting with you because, you know, I'll need your assistance too. But we'll get to talking about that at a later time. So with all that being said, I was talking about what was up with us next. We are going to go to Truckers for Hope truck show. It is September this year out, and I just pulled up their website, in Mill Hall, PA. I know you did, Cheryl. I'm going to hold you to it. Just remember that. Okay. So what they do at their truck show, okay, it is actually, is Truckers for Hope is a 3-day non-judge semi-truck benefit show with a variety of different activities for everyone to enjoy, including semi, tractor, and 4x4 poles, kids activities, live music, and more. This year, come and enjoy the Monster Truck Rides and Bull Ride Mania. Truckers for Hope benefits cystic fibrosis research and Hope for Haze. The little boy, I believe this is the way I understand it, Haze has cystic fibrosis. So that's the reason Greg found this. I think he ran across it on Facebook or somewhere. And it's at a fairgrounds, kind of like what we're planning to do at a fairgrounds. I was looking at this and it's like, this is what I want. This is perfect. So I may be basing a lot of our truck show, what I want to do, because this is the second year for them doing this. And I want ours to, you know, kind of get to look like this. Okay. So, but they have over 300 trucks on display. It says, come see all trucks from all across the United States. The show has been featured in Overdrive Magazine, Large Car Mags, Gear Jamming, Jammer Magazine, and Moving Out. It's not about how clean your ride is. It's about supporting a great cause with wonderful family and friends in the trucking industry. That's what we want. We want everybody to feel like they are family when they come to the truck show. When you go to some of the bigger mainstream truck shows, not naming no names, you guys all know who I'm talking about, you're just a booth number or a thorn in a side. So we want to be able to get everybody incorporated in, because at the last day of our show on Sunday, my big plan is this. Every driver that is at our show that comes, because there's not going to be no outrageous price for anybody to be there. There's not going to be no parking price. There's not going to be anything like that. You're not going to have to pay for your showers, because you will have showers provided. We're going to have truck pulls. We are going to have a drag race. Now, not the type of drag race y'all were thinking about. If you remember, anyways, we'll get on that later. But I want to have a kids' night with a bounce house and a big slide and a dunking booth, bobbing for apples, pedal tractor races, tossing a bale of straw, anything for these kids to have fun and get them and the family to work together and have fun together. You know, egg race, balloon toss, stuff, you know, that is fun to do. Because it's in July, and then you get the families, the mothers, the dads that have their kids with them, or the grandmothers. yes, Cheryl, you can be in the drag race. But because everybody wants to bring their kids with them to do these type of things, and at least this way we'll have stuff specifically for kids. I'm going to have a petting zoo, may even have, you know, pony rides, and all this type of stuff. My goal, I can't say this is exactly what's going to happen, but my goal is this. I want these things to be free for the families to do with their kids. Yes, you may have to pay for food while you're there, because we're not going to be able to supply food to everybody that comes through there for free. Because honestly, Redneck and I will not be doing that at our own truck show. We will have other people there to do that. You know, whether it be vendors, you know, in the food trucks and stuff like that, or we have other drivers or other nonprofits that want to come in and do that, because I'm going to try reaching out to some of the nonprofits that I have met in the past years at the other truck show in order to see if they want to come and do that. You know, the only thing, you know, if it's a nonprofit that wants to do it, we can't say we can't charge them to be there, because we still have to pay for the property. So even if we charge them a lower amount to be there and help out, a chance to be around and do their thing and be able to, whatever they make off of that, that's full profits to them. So that's what we want. We're going to have the touch the truck. I'm going to get a hold of local fire department, see if they can have a truck there. You know, troopers, you know, State Highway Patrol is right across the gate from the fairgrounds. So do that. Cheryl, that is an awesome idea. Never thought. She just stated on Facebook Live, a fur baby wash bay. I may even get my groomer to be able to come up and do something like that and do a mobile thing for the day. You know, washing. Anyways, not getting off on that. It's going to be marked down right now on my book. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Fur baby pampering is what I put. And I may even be able to get a hold of our vet to see if they can come up and volunteer one day from, that's what I was just saying, Cheryl, get our vet to come up and talk about it, to come up and do a certain hours. So, but yeah, that's something, you know, just some of the other ideas that I want to throw out there and do. So, but, that is what I've been thinking and trying to rack my brain with. Is I work on it like today. Like I said, I worked on this for 3 or 4 hours today while Greg was out doing the stuff he was doing. And it was like, I need to get some things set in motion. So I did a lot of stuff today and got that going. And then it's like, I need to take a break. I need to walk away. So tomorrow I'll be right back at it again because I'm going to have to start reaching out to more people and start putting our packets together for sponsorship, stuff like that. So that's something I need to look into. But back to, see, sidetracked again, back to the Truckers for Hope truck show. It's going to be September 23rd through the 25th in Mill Hall, PA at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. They're having truck pulls, semi-pulls, a dyno, monster truck rides, and semi-light show. Let's see what else I need to get to there. Nope, there we go. They have a campground, which we're going to, I've already applied to see about getting onto the campground. They're doing a truck convoy on the 22nd, monster truck rides all day on the 23rd, animal display all day on the 23rd. For the show entry, 4x4 show entry, it's $40. Entire event, pickup semi-truck drag races at 6 o'clock, cornhole tournament, which we can do something like that at ours. And here's what I like is long haul Paul is going to be on the stage at 8 o'clock and Tony Justice will be on the stage at 9 o'clock. Okay. Saturday on the 24th, they're doing monster truck rides, animal display, the dyno, 4x4 pulls, a kids day, pedal pulls, cornhole tournament, semi-pulls, semi-drags, light show, fireworks, and Little Texas at 9 p.m. And then on Sunday is their church service and bull riding mania at 2 p.m. Because Sunday at ours is, this is what I'm going to do for all drivers that are still there. And what I want to have is on that Sunday a driver appreciation lunch. When I reach out, when the vendors start, food vendors and that start coming and start, you know, we start getting them going, that's something that's going to be talking to them about is see if they want to donate on Sunday, you know, enough of one of their staple ingredient or staple things at their food truck for the lunch. You know, say they do gyros or do hoagies, you know, so much so these drivers can come into the one building and we will sell raffle or tickets for raffles or do an auction, the raffle items off because I'm going to get stuff donated to raffle off. So the drivers can have a day, just nothing but drivers, no public, you know, the driver, I can't say nothing but drivers, but the driver and their family that's with them. It's not going to be for everybody in the tri-state area, it's going to be just for our drivers. So that is kind of what I want to do on that particular day, on Sunday, because it'll kind of wrap it down and it'll get us to be able to talk with all of them and see what they thought of, you know, our first annual, because we want to be able to do this year after year. Because these fairgrounds, there is like 380 acres. There will be parking. Don't get me wrong. It will be on farm fields, grass fields. They, we will have a wrecker on standby if by some chance it happens to rain and drivers get stuck. Heaven forbid that happens. But, you know, July around here, it's usually never that wet. You know, July is usually our driest month. So it is kind of, I think it's going to be a good thing, because I know I have a lot of resources around here I can reach out to, hence Jen with you and your tractors, you know, and tractor pulls, and, you know, the company you work with about coming and setting up and having tractors on display for kids to climb on or whatever. So, I mean, these are things I know I can reach out to different people and talk to about. Especially being in my area, we have a lot of variety of stuff around here. We also have where these fairgrounds are located at. It is in Canfield, Ohio. They are a big fairgrounds. It's right off of Route 11, and it's south of 80 in Youngstown, Hubbard, Girard area, you know. So, and it's not that far from the turnpike. So everything is really close there. You know, so I think we'll have a good turnout. I think it'll be really good. So, but as of what we're doing next for us is, that's what we're planning, is going to the Truckers for Hope truck show. I don't want to say we're going to be doing a lot out there as in food or anything like that, because if nothing else, it would be just basically Greg and I going out and being out there just to be supportive and have our shirts and, you know, that type of stuff. I know Ed had said something about maybe possibly coming too, but he's not sure. Robbie's always a possibility to be there. Greg's definitely wants to go because he wants to pull his truck. So that's kind of what, you know, is going on as of right now. But when it comes to some of the other things that we want to do, we want to build our radio station. Because not only do I do this on Wednesday nights, we also have Ed that does it on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. We are also going to have a logistics coordinator, Christopher Reese, that's going to be on, him and his wife, Jessica, which Jessica is a tax preparer, an accountant, I should say, with different initials. Don't ask me because I have no clue what they mean on the back of her name. But I'm actually looking for her card because I had it right here. But anyways, okay, it must be in my other bag. So, nope, there they are. Because Chris works with Medallion Transport and Logistics, and he is a logistics coordinator for them. So if you guys ever have any need for that, contact me, and I will put you in touch with Chris. And Jessica is an accountant, and she is J.P. Reese Tax Advisor. So, again, you need somebody to ask any questions about your taxes, you know, and these two both were drivers. So, you know, they understand the whole trucking industry. So don't be afraid if you guys need any help with anything, contact us, because that's what us here at Redneck and I's are about. We're here to help drivers, whether you're new, old, or just need help with things. Always reach out to us because we're always here. So so we're going to get them on, and they're going to start doing a radio show at some point. I'm not sure exactly when. I need to touch base a little bit more with them. I know Jessica said she wasn't doing nothing until after this week. So I'm going to say probably more by next month, they might be able to start putting something together and have their own little show. So they might not do a two-hour show. They might do an hour show. But I want them to be able to get on here and do stuff too, because they are you know, some good people to have on and talk to and have questions. And they, you know, can answer these questions if you do have one about your taxes. So, and Chris, a good one to talk to if you need any help finding a load or doing something along those lines. I'm not sure exactly what all he does with Medallion, whether he does just their trucks or he does other ones. That I'm not real sure, but just let me know. I have their phone numbers here if you guys need any type of questions answered. So we are coming down to the last few minutes. I want to take a few minutes to just kind of tell you guys how happy I am to have you on, whether you're listening on the radio station, you're watching us on Facebook, you're listening to the repeat, or you're listening to us via the radio podcast portion of this. Or if you watch us on our YouTube channel when the videos are posted. So I want to say thanks to you guys for taking the time and being with me and hanging out with me. Like I said, whether you're on Facebook or wherever you're hanging out and watching us from or listening to me from, I just want to say, even though this portion of this radio show says Women of Redneckinized, it's not all that, because I'm one of those ones. I want to make sure everybody knows that there is no difference between men and women when it comes to drivers, because we're all drivers. We're all brothers and sisters of the road. We're all here to help one another. And even if you are out there and you just started and you're not sure where to go or who to ask questions to, don't be afraid to ask that driver sitting across from you at the truck stop, or, you know, that driver at the fuel island. There's something that you hear on your truck that you're not sure what it is. Ask somebody. Yes, they may be total jackasses and be rude to you and say, well, if you don't know, you don't need to be driving. Honestly, that person that does that doesn't have no clue what he's talking about either. So he's not one you want to talk to. You want to find that one driver that you can go up to and say, hey, I have a question. My truck is making this funny noise. What do you think it might be? That one driver might say, give me a few minutes. Let me get settled here and I'll come over and take a look at it for you. Maybe we can figure out what it is. Those are the drivers you want to talk to. And I can't even say it's the older ones you want to go talk to. When you see an older driver at the truck stop and say, hey, I'm going to go talk to him because he might have the answer for me. That driver might not. He may have only been driving for the past year or two. So you just have to look at it one way and know that not every driver out there is going to treat you the best. Some of them may actually, like I said, give you attitude. But you will find that one driver out there that's going to go out of their way to help you. So let's hope that you always find that one driver. Because, yeah, Jen, you're right. Most true drivers will help anyone. But there's a lot of them out there that, you know, it's me, and I don't need to know anything about you. And here at Redneckinized, we're here to help you all. So if you do have a question about something, or your truck is making a funny noise, or you roll the hood and there's something hanging there and you're not sure what that is, send us a picture. One of our guys, or if not one of our guys, I have a friend that's a mechanic that works for a local dealership. I can send him a thing and say, hey, what do you think this is? One of our drivers, not really drivers, not my driver, but Donnie, he thought his turbo was going out on his International because it had a lot of whistling going to it. And he found out today it was a turbo gasket because Greg told him it sounded like he was losing boost. And it would sound like a boost leak because of the way it was. And I even noticed it when they were on the phone talking yesterday. So, you know, it's easy to find the little things that you don't really know for sure if that's the problem. But that's what we're here to find out, and we're here to help you with. And we're also here just to talk, just like tonight. Yeah, I don't have a problem sitting here talking to myself. I make sure I kept the video off most of the time on the my computer screen and I have it on my phone. Only for the fact, like I said, I can't see on the screen the comments. So it makes it nice that I can actually sit here and just kind of chit chat and, you know, run off at the mouth, basically, to talk about a little bit of anything. And, you know, I, like I said before, I don't want to be reading stuff all the time. I want to be able to give you guys, you know, first account news. So, and I'm never going to be able to do that all the time. And I know this. I know it's not going to happen that way. As much as I would love it to, I know it will not. Yes, Cheryl, I know you guys are there. I know I'm not talking, but I know I'm not talking to myself. I know I got you guys there watching on Facebook. So don't feel offended. I'm sorry. I guess I should have rephrased that a little bit better. But I want to make sure everybody knows that we're here for everybody. Male, female, new driver, experienced driver, you know, company driver, owner operator, lease purchase. No, Redneck and I is a safe place for you guys to come and ask your questions. Don't feel, you know, offended if we tell you when you do call or you send us a message, we're not sure, we'll find out. I can't say if I answer one of your questions that I'll have the answer to it, or if I read one of your answers, or if you call in or you message me. It kind of makes it hard for me to know everything, because I will never say that I know everything. So with all that being said, I do want to thank everybody for being on tonight, including my two faithful girls on Facebook, Jen and Cheryl, for sending me all the comments and kind of, you know, giving me new ideas. Jen, I started last Wednesday with my first week doing it. So our radio show will be every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So that is, yeah, on a Wednesday at 7 p.m. It's called Women of Redneck and I's. We also have one on Sunday that most of the guys call in. So that's what we're doing on Wednesdays. And I'm going to be doing them. We have, like I said, we have the radio station that you can call in and actually physically talk to me. And then we also have, I've been doing it on Facebook Live just because I can't get our YouTube on my end to work, because it's just not like me and I don't like YouTube. So it's a perfect thing. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that. And Cheryl, I'm glad I didn't offend you. I knew I wouldn't. But I will post every, I will be posting and letting you guys know when we go live. And like I said, it's every Wednesday at 7, unless something comes up, I can't do it. But I am definitely going to try, because I'm going to work on being able to pull people on and do kind of like Zoom, so we can all be on here and do, I may even try doing a live room on Facebook. And I'm not sure if I can do that this way or not. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to be playing with some things. So if I send you guys a couple messages and say, hey, I need you to jump on here and try this for me, you know, that might be something I may do. So Cheryl, I may be sending you a link one day and say, hey, jump on here and see if we can do this together and see if we can get it to work. Mm-hmm. Only because I know you're out in the truck and you'll be able to help me a little bit. So we're going to work on some things and maybe get these to be a little bit more interactive and get more people on the screen on Facebook Live to be able to see each other more. So, okay. So now we are down. Our 2 hours is up, basically. So now I want to tell everybody again, of our sponsors. We have LTR Transportation out of Denver, Colorado. Have been a sponsor with us since 2019. Trucker Tolls with our Trucker Tolls app has been sponsors of Redneck and I since 2019. And then we have Miss Hattie Jane Rollins of DPF Regeneration, which has been a loyal sponsor of Redneck and I since 2015. So I just want to say thank you to all of our sponsors for all that you do for Redneck and I. And we will definitely thanks, Cheryl. I appreciate that. I don't think I could talk for another 2.5 hours, or I definitely would. So we will definitely be looking forward to next week's episode of Women of Redneck and I's with everybody here and everybody to join. So let all your friends and family know that all they have to do is either pull us up face on Facebook Live, give us a call, because the number is the same every week for every show, and that is 515-602-9731, option 1 to be live with us on the radio to be part of the conversation, or just to listen like a couple of my guys are doing now. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for jumping on tonight and listening to me ramble and read and teach you about new things and talk about what Redneck and I is going to do next and get some of your input on some of the things that we can do at our upcoming truck show that we are going to be performing or putting on in 2023. So with all that being said, I do want to again send out my deepest sympathies to the family of James Burnett with MSR Transportation out of Monroe, Ohio, and also to Mike and Susie Rowley for the loss of their driver. We feel for you. We're devastated to see this. We're sorry that this poor driver is going to be scrutinized over what happened. And here at Redneck and I, we may actually have been one of those ones to say, hey, if he would have done this, it could have been different. But none of us knew what could have happened or what happened or what these circumstances were actually behind that. Because now, unfortunately, one of the drivers that could have shed a little bit of light on that is no longer with us. And his family is in deep mourning, too. He did have some, I think, 3 kids from what I could see when I looked at his Facebook, you know. So, yes, I did do a little bit of trolling and deep diving to find out exactly who this driver was, because we did have a lot of friends that worked. We, you know, Greg and I worked for Mike and Susie Rowley when they lived here and was still with at least RK Camp. So we feel for you deeply. Anybody that loses a family member, you know, for whatever circumstances, we feel for you. That's part of what the trucking community is. We pull together for each and every one of our family and our friends, and, you know, we're here for everybody. So, again, thank you all for jumping on with us tonight. And, oh, wait a minute, Cheryl posted. Okay, Cheryl, you're right. I'm going to have to get with Miss Hattie and talk to her and have her come on one night. I may even have to do a pre-recorded show with her and do it. So we will see. I will definitely get a hold of her. Okay, because like Cheryl said, we need to get Miss Hattie on here. And she has told me before she would do one. So I'm going to have to get one put together so she can come on here and talk about DPF regeneration. So until next week, my fellow listeners, my fellow drivers, and my sisters and brothers of the road, stay safe out there. Keep that comfort zone around you, for heaven's sakes. Pay attention. Always look for that out, because you never know when you may need it. This is Tiffany signing off with Women of Redneck and I's. I want to tell y'all, thank you again for being here with us. And we will definitely be looking forward to next week's conversation. So if you have any ideas of what to talk about next week, give us a call. and send me a text message, and we will chat about it. Love y'all. Be safe. And good night.